Could we turn this morning to Exodus chapter 12, please? Exodus chapter 12, and we're starting to read at the first one. Exodus chapter 12 and the first one. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbours next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, at all with water, but roast with fire his head, with his legs, and with the prunes thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread for the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day, and there shall be a holy convocation to you. No matter of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. And we know the Lord will bless this reading of his own infallible word. There's just one further verse I'd like to read in Ephesians 1 and the verse 7. Ephesians 1 and the verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. First of all, in this text, we have the fact that redemption is in Christ and Christ alone, in whom we have redemption. Secondly, we have the precious blood of Christ. That is the instrument of the redemption through his blood. Thirdly, we have the forgiveness of sins. Fourthly, we have, according to the riches of his grace, the instrument of divine redemption, the blood of Christ. You know, brethren and sisters, praise God for the blood of the Lamb of God, the blessed Lord Jesus. This morning, very briefly and very quickly, I want us to see his blood. The Lord Jesus' blood is spotless blood. I want us to see that the Lord Jesus' blood is separated blood. I want us to see that the Lord Jesus' blood is shed blood. I want us to see that the Lord Jesus' blood is sprinkled blood. I want us to see that the Lord Jesus' blood is sealing blood. And I want us to see that it's safeguarding blood. Now don't worry, your dinner will be fine. I'm only going to speak on these subjects very briefly this morning. It reminds me of the story that the Reverend Fred Greenfield told us of a preacher who came one night to preach on the minor prophets. And as he was preaching, he came to about 10 o'clock at night. And he said, "I don't know how I'm going to fit Micah in." And a man in the front seat said, "Well, sir, you can have my seat because I'm going home. And I don't want that happening this morning, or Mr. Morrow will not let me back again." But very briefly, we're going to look at the spotless blood of Christ. We're going to look at the separated blood of Christ. We're going to look at the shed blood, the sprinkled blood, the sealing blood, and the safeguarding blood. You know, in Genesis chapter 12 this morning, we read there, you have set forth in a wonderful type just exactly what the blood of Christ is and what the blood of Christ does. It's spotless blood. God was going to judge the Egyptians. He was coming down in wrath upon the wicked, cruel, persecuting nation that was persecuting his own covenant people. He said to the children of Israel, "Now the day that I release my wrath and pour out my judgment, I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to do it by the blood of the Lamb." What a beautiful picture we have of the blood of Christ. The first thing you will notice about this is that it is spotless blood. We read in Genesis 12 and 5, spotless blood because the Lamb was without spot and was without blemish. Only the blood that can forgive and cleanse and save is spotless blood. Where will we find spotless blood? Well, brothers and sisters, you'll not find it in any fanes of any man or woman or boys and girls. After Adam fell, a poison came into the bloodstream of the human race. Every one of us have poison in our blood. Why? Because the blood of man and woman is contaminated and sinful and dark and evil. But praise God, there is one I know who has spotless blood. He is the spotless, flawless, crimeless Son of God, and his blood is spotless. Praise God, the blood of Jesus can cleanse every spot and every heart that is stained with sin, and every soul that precious blood of Christ can cleanse. No matter how dark and spotted your heart is, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse from all sin. Praise God, he is the spotless Lamb of God. The Lamb had to be spotless, without blemish. The children of Israel were told that the Lamb had to be spotless and without blemish. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, was the virgin-born Son of God. His blood was spotless and without blemish. Oh yes, my friend, this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ has spotless blood. You know, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon was going to preach in the Crystal Palace in London. And in those days, they didn't have microphone equipment. So Spurgeon and his friend went along to try the acoustics of that great Crystal Palace. And of course, Spurgeon said to his friend, "Go you over there to the furthest place you can go." And Spurgeon walked over and he shouted out, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He then told his friend to go over to the other side. And he shouted out, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He then went into the centre of the pulpit and he done the same again. But you know, Spurgeon didn't know that there was a workman working in that building. And as that word went forward, "Behold the Lamb of God," conviction came upon that workman. And as that workman went his way home, all he could hear ringing in his ears, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." My friend, the Bible tells us that God's word will not return unto him void. And that dear workman got down on his knees and he cried unto the Lamb of God and he was washed in the precious blood. He was able to tell Spurgeon when the meeting started, that he was the first convert at that great meeting. And in Crystal Palace, many thousands found the Lamb of God as their own and personal Savior. Friend, this morning, is he your Lamb? Do you know him as your own personal Savior? Can you say you have that spotless blood of the Lamb in your heart? Oh, it was spotless blood. But I want you to notice there is something else in the beautiful type. You find they were to be separate, these lambs. In verse 5, we're told they had to separate from the flock for 14 days. You know, two periods of 7 days each. And of course, 7 in Scripture is perfection. 2 in Scripture is the number of witness. So there was a witness to the separation. There's something absolutely unique and special about the blood of Christ. Judas Iscariot could say, "I have betrayed innocent blood. Oh, I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ is separated blood. It's special. It stands by itself. You can't compare it to anyone else." In heaven, the redeemed are singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that has washed us from our sins in our own blood." Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ's blood was separated blood. These people were told, the children of Israel were told, that for 14 days they were to keep the lambs separated. And you know, they had separated them. Could I suggest to you today, if you're interested in numbers in Scripture, there's a great book by E.W. Bollinger. Many years ago, as a birthday present, Dr. Paisley gave me that book. And it gives you all these figures on and numbers in the Scripture. A great book to have. Yes, it's spotless blood. And it's separated blood. But notice something else. It had to be shed blood. Notice something else. They had to kill it. They couldn't tie the lambs outside their house. They were told that they must bring the lamb in and the blood had to be shed. God's command was to kill it. The whole congregation were associated to the killing. The blood must be shed. The lamb must die. Could I take you to Calvary this morning? As we lift our eyes to that wonderful sacrifice on Calvary, in that middle cross, we see the blessed Lord Jesus. We see him there hanging on that tree. His head was crowned with thorns. His hands and his feet spiked with nails. His side ruptured with a spear. What else could I see? My friend, I see shed blood. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Praise God The blood of Jesus was shed. He must die that you and I might live. Oh, what an awful place Calvary was. You know, Calvary, there was darkness at Calvary. Over those 3 hours, darkness fell. And all the sins of his people were put on our Savior. There was darkness at Calvary. But you know, there was death at Calvary. On that middle cross, the Lord Jesus Christ cried with a voice, "It is finished." What was finished? Salvation was finished for you and me. Oh, friend, there was darkness. There was death. But praise God for that deliverance that you and I got at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. He took my place and he died for me. The blood of Christ is shed. The work's done. You have nothing to do but be washed in the shed blood of the Lamb. In Princess Street in Edinburgh, in a window, there was a picture of the crucifixion. And this gentleman was walking along one day, and he stopped at the window, and he looked, and he was looking at the picture. And all of a sudden, a little boy pulled his coat, and he said, "Sir, the one in the middle is the Lord Jesus." And the man said, "Yes, son, I know that." And the man started to walk down Princess Street. But the wee boy, he ran after him. He says, "But sir, I want to tell you something. The Lord Jesus is not on the cross anymore. The Lord Jesus is in my heart. And he is risen again." You know, that was like a dagger to that man. The Lord Jesus Christ is not on the cross. He has risen again. And as that man walked down Princess Street, praise God, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He realized that the blood of Christ was shed on Calvary for the sin of his people. My friend, the blood of Jesus Christ had to be shed. But you know, there's something else. Every bit of that shed blood had to be gathered up in a basin. Every part of that lamb that was slain for the sacrifice, every bit of that blood had to be got. None of it was lost. They were to go to the door of the house, and the father was to take a bunch of hyssop and dip in the blood, and they were to put it across and down the sides. The blood of Christ, my friend, has to be sprinkled. It had to be applied. It's not enough to know that the blood is spotless. It's not enough to know that the blood of Jesus is separated. It's not enough to know the blood of Jesus was shed. I tell you, it has to be applied. You've got to be sprinkled on your heart. It has to be sprinkled on your life. It has to be sprinkled on your conscience and on your soul. Thank God for the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. There's a little hymn that says, "'Tis heaven to know, to feel the blood applied." Do you feel the blood applied today? Do you feel that blood sprinkled on your heart? You know, the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Oh, the Lord Jesus' blood needs to be sprinkled. But you know, my friend, it's sealing blood. God told us in Exodus, God said, "When I see the blood, it will be a token." Praise God, it's sealing blood. It seals. The job's done. When the blood's applied, it's a great thing the people of God have. The inner witness, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The blood puts away sin. The word puts away your doubts, and you rest on the blood. God says it's a token. It's a seal. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Friend, have you that guarantee within your heart that you'll never be in hell? That you will be in heaven for all eternity. Have you that assurance? Tell me, brother and sister, are you sealed onto the day of redemption? God has pledged that not a soul washed in the blood of Jesus will ever be in hell. The wee hymn says, I know a place where night is turned to day. Burdens are lifted, blind eyes made to see. There's wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. Praise God, the Lord Jesus' blood is sealing blood. You know, there was a preacher over from America, and he was staying in London with his friend. One afternoon he was sitting with the preacher, the friend's daughter, and as he looked, he said, "Dear, have you a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus?" And you know, that girl took an exception to that. And she became very angry. And she said, "That's a very personal thing. It's a very personal thing." And she stormed out of the room. But you know, all that week, that came back to her. Have you a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your own and personal Savior? All week, as she went to work, it kept coming to her. Have you a personal relationship? Have you been washed in the blood? And you know, on the Friday, she came in, and she looked at the preacher, and she said, "Sir, I have to be honest with you. I don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. But," she says, "I have to apologize to you." She says, "All week I could do nothing but think of what you said to me." You know, she said, "I would love to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. But," she says, "I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to get saved." The preacher looked at her and he said, "Dear, just come as you are. Just come as you are. Come as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner and ask the Lord Jesus to wash you and cleanse you in the blood." He said, "Dear, I had to do that." He said, "Your father had to do it. Your mother had to do it. All the members of your family who are Christians had to do it. Just come as you are." That dear girl went up into her room. She got down on her knees and she just came as she was. That girl was Charlotte Elliot. Charlotte Elliot, who wrote that great hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. But that thy bids me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come." My friend, it is sealing blood. Have you got the blood on your heart today? It is sealing blood. But praise God, it's safeguarding blood. It's safeguarding blood. Praise God, the power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Notice what it said in Genesis, "When I see the blood," or in Exodus, "I will pass over you." It was safeguarding blood. You know, I can imagine the firstborn in each family, and they would have went to the father and said, "Dad, have you got that blood applied?" "Yes, I have, son. Come here and you see." And the boy would go and look. And you know, as I get closer to the hour, I'm sure that child was worried that the blood was there. But you know, the Lord says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." When you're under the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, you're under safeguarding blood. Each child and a young person or older person, the firstborn, were safe in the house where the blood was applied. And my friend, today, if you have the blood of pride in your heart, if there's a day and hour that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know you're as safe. You're safe under the blood. You know, I'll never stand at that great white throne judgment. Why? Because years ago, as a sinner, I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had that safeguarding blood applied. My sins were washed away in the precious blood of the Lamb. I thank God for a faithful Sunday school teacher, a man called Davy Stewart. And as a young man at 15 years of age, I was about to go out into the world. I went to Sunday school, and I was in this man's Sunday school class right up through all the years. And that dear man saw other young men come to the Saviour. But I was the only one that hadn't trusted the Saviour. I remember going to Mr. Stewart and I said, "Sir, this is my last Sunday at Sunday school." And I remember that old man looking at me with tears in his eyes. And he said to me, "Tommy, you're the only member of my Sunday school that hasn't trusted Christ as their Saviour." And he says, "Tommy, I have to warn you that you'll be lost." And you know, my friend, I took umbrage at that. I said, "Mr. Stewart, I'm as good as any of you. I go to Sunday school. I go to children's. I'm in the Boys' Brigade. I go to the Boys' Brigade Bible class." But that old faithful man of God turned me to God's word. And he showed me where it said, "All my righteousness were like filthy rags in the sight of a just God." And he left me with one word. He said, "Tommy, God's word says my spirit shall not always strive with man." And you know, I'm thankful for that man of God. It was 3 years after that, I was 15, 16, 17, 3 years after that, that I came to trust the Saviour. I was walking past the City Hall one Sunday night, and as I was walking up, I heard that verse being shouted out, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after death the judgment." Oh friend, I thank God for a faithful man of God who showed me that I needed the Saviour. And I just said, "Lord Jesus, you said in your word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that night I just said, "Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me in your precious blood, and I shall be whiter than snow." You know, I found that it was safeguarding blood. Praise God, I'll never be at that great white throne judgment. You know, that white throne judgment are for men and women, boys and girls who have rejected God's way of salvation. Men and women who have never had their sins washed in the blood. And that day of that great white throne judgment, they will answer for their sins. But praise God, all in this meeting this morning who know Christ as their Saviour will never be there, because the blood is safeguarding blood. You know, there was a man called Dr. John Moore. He was a missionary to the Seamen's Mission in Glasgow. And he went this day to share. He would visit sailors who were in hospital. And he was visiting with this sailor. And he told him about the gospel. And the young man said, "Sir, you don't know the burdens that I'm carrying." He said, "Sir, I would never be able to give up these burdens." But Dr. Moore told him about Pilgrim's Progress, how the burden rolled away. And he gave his own testimony, how he carried burdens, and the burdens were all upon his shoulder. You know, he then said to the young man, "Have you still got your burden?" And the young man said, "How can I lose it?" And he said, "Come and trust the Lord as your Saviour." And he had the joy of pointing that young man to the Saviour. And he said, "Is your burden gone now?" And the young man says, "They're gone. I realise they're gone." Do you know who Dr. John Moore was? He was the man who went home that night and wrote that beautiful hymn, "Burdens are Lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." Oh, praise God, it is safe guarding blood. Are you under the blood? You know, it was spotless blood. It is separated blood. It's shed blood. It's sprinkled blood. It's safeguarding blood. My friend, today, if you're not saved, you can wash and be clean. I'd like to read what this, I lifted a little gospel tract the other day, and I'd like you to hear what this man said in his tract. "In the light of the great day of the wrath of the Lamb of God, The inquiry was made in Revelation 6 and 17. Who shall be able to stand? The Bible tells us a great number that no man could number stood before the Lamb and the throne. They were able to stand before God because they were clothed with the white robes. The reason they were attired is that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood. Only the blood of the Lamb can provide a safe and secure standing on the great day of the wrath. Only the atoning blood of Christ can enable us to stand in God's holy presence. I would say amen to that. Have you been washed in Christ's blood? If not, then on that day you will find that there is no hiding place. Wash in the blood of the Lamb and you will be able to stand in God's presence. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, my friend, in this day, there is nothing attacked more than the blood of the Lord Jesus. It is attacked more by people who don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the spotless, pure Son of God. But praise God, we can say the Lord Jesus' blood was spotless blood. He can wash you this morning, my friend. He can cleanse you in that precious blood. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow.